Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Cleveland Cavaliers had a brutal game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Made things a little bit interesting at the end, but that was just a painful, painful slugfest to get you back into the swing of things with Cavs basketball after Christmas. To help break everything down is my good buddy, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, man?
I'm good. Was sort of under the impression, I figured just like every other stupid holiday in Canada, you celebrated Christmas in like mid-October, so.
Well, speaking of that, I just learned today that you guys don't do Boxing Day.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Okay, so
I know what it is, but I kind of forget.
Yeah, Boxing Day is like the day right after Christmas. Everybody gets kind of a second holiday day there, and it's essentially Black Friday. Like, there's just a ton of deals and stuff like that. It's like a shopping.
Is there no Black Friday in Canada?
Not really. I mean, we kind of mimic some of the sales, but do you guys get like Black Friday off, like as a day?
No, it's not a holiday. It's okay. Just like a thing, but everyone kind of takes the day after Thanksgiving anyway, but it's not like, that's not why you have it off necessarily. It's more like because Thanksgiving always falls on a Thursday in America. So ipso facto makes sense that you'd get the Friday off.
Right. Right. Yeah. So this is just kind of like an official day off for everybody still.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, functionally the Boxing Day makes a little bit more sense from the perspective of like Black Friday is kind of nice in that you get all your Christmas shopping done, but from a markup, you know, point of view, it kind of makes sense that the everything would be cheap the day after Christmas after everyone's done buying shit.
Exactly. Turn that product over.
Do you care about that? Do you shop? I don't shop.
No, I've never done it once. I'll do some stuff online.
Yeah, if it's right in front of my stupid face, but I'm not waiting in a line.
Right, right. Speaking of which, what Cavs would you be boxing up this Boxing Day, my friend?
Like,
trading.
I was about to say, would I go shopping with? I don't know. It's still Rodney Hood, still Alec Burks. It does feel like those are the two guys that need to go.
Who are you selling? Like, let's not say guys that are going to get traded or you think would be traded. Is there anybody that is kind of projected to be part of this team moving forward that you're just kind of out on?
That I'm out on?
Yeah.
No, but maybe that's just a matter of like, I mean, Sexton's had a pretty ugly stretch. He ended up salvaging his night with a nice fourth quarter push once Memphis kind of gave up. But he's just been really ugly for a while. But like, I almost feel like I can't afford to give up on anyone who's going to be on the team long term because there's only three of them.
That's very, very fair.
So as a fan, I have to still be like, I don't know, Jetty's figuring it out, maybe.
Hey, you know what? Jetty's had a nice little stretch here.
It's been fine.
You know, no, come on, give him a little bit more credit. He's been legitimately okay the last six games or so. I think he's shooting.
He has been better.
He's shooting 52% from the floor.
None of these like 2-for-8 nights recently, which is nice.
Right, and he's shooting 65% from inside the arc. Like the 3-point shots, what's really kind of killing his efficiency. That and the fact the guy just doesn't get to the line, which is it's driving me nuts. I looked it up right before we started recording, and I'm sure that number is going to go up with this game. But he's taking 32% of his shots within 3 feet, like at the rim, and his free throw rate is still like 6%, 7% lower than it was last season.
Yeah, normally white guys get the benefit of the doubt on this shit, you know?
Well, one thing I noticed...
Am I wrong?
Oh, God. Well, typically clumsy
Tyler
guys...
Tyler Hansbrough made a career out of it.
True, true. Typically, if you're a little clumsy around the rim, that gets rewarded. Yeah. Or if you're short. If you're short, people typically love you.
Yeah, they feel bad for you. Right. Yeah, the funny thing about Jetty, don't you just feel like you know whether his three is going in every single time, whether or not it's going in? Like, it's like his form is so differential, or it differentiates so much from shot to shot. Like, someone's like, oh, he's aiming that one. Nope.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are still the ones that look good and they don't go down. He also, for whatever reason, seems to be the guy that they go to the bailout shots for. Like, a lot of his threes are 2 seconds left on the shot clock, and he's 5 feet behind the arc, and he's kind of flinging the one-handed heave.
Yeah.
But even if it's not going down, I mean, this is a developmental season. I want him.
David Zabak always kind of says, like, he's at least trying to do what a modern NBA wing has to do to be good. It's just not working yet. The defense is a little disappointing.
Yeah, a little bit. It hasn't been good. I didn't expect him to necessarily be a lockdown defender. But also, the communication is just so bad out there. It's tough to single out any one guy.
It's just, you know who you can single out probably is Mike Longobardi. The defensive coordinator on the team.
Can I
go into a pet peeve that only that like 0% of our listeners are going to be on board or are going to care about, but I'm going to go there anyway?
Yeah, that seems to be our kind of lane.
It's kind of our vibe. I don't like it when Fox Sports Ohio does their little post halftime interview with a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever it's Longobardi, Angel Gray never asks him about the defense.
I've noticed that.
Dude, he's the defensive coordinator. I don't really care how he thinks about how they've performed in transition on offense.
Yeah.
It's not his job.
This guy has been, he's been getting away with a lot. It's pretty impressive how he's managed to kind of fly under the radar, given just how historically bad the Cavs defense has been the last
couple years. So he got fired from a dumpster fire in Phoenix. They said, no thanks, Mike. Go along your merry way. And then he gets hired by the Cavs, becomes their defensive coordinator. Defense gets no better, really. Ty Lue just takes over in the postseason every year. And somehow this guy is just going to stick around forever. I mean, everyone talks about how Kevin Love survived everything. Like,
right.
This guy is I was about to make way too mean a comparison, but it was like,
just do it.
Well, it's meaner than I want it to be, but it is like a cockroach in Nuclear Winter. But then I'm comparing a person to a cockroach, which is not what I'm trying to do. The whole
I know he's short, but come on.
The whole point of the analogy was resilient. Because, like, this Cavs defense is schematically a mess. Like, these guys don't really have much of an idea of what they're doing.
Yeah.
The only times they've ever even done okay defensively in the Longobardi era is when Ty Lue inevitably was like, we just simplified everything, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not really what I want to hear out of my – like, that's how our defense got better, is we stopped asking anyone to do anything hard.
Yeah. That's not exactly the best sign, but you know,
but
what?
Like, those Cavs teams had a great excuse to be terrible on defense, and like, so does this one, in fairness, but like they're way worse than last year's team.
Right. Right. Yeah. It is impressive how bad they are, but I mean, injuries are obviously a huge part of that, and this is just not a team that's looking to win. There was, for those standings watching, Phoenix got yet another win tonight, even though they tried their absolute best to give it away. they were up 3 with a second to go and fouled a three-point shooter, so they had to win it in overtime. But the Cavs do own the worst record in the NBA outright, which is nice.
The loss to the Bulls sure helped.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Those are the ones you just got to lose. in a lot of ways, I kind of feel like this Memphis game kind of represents December. Like, this was by far, and I think it's going to end up being the darkest month of this season. Like, I just think Sexton had his kind of run of playing well, and then that's kind of dropped off a cliff. But you kind of get this gasp of life that I think is coming for this team. And when Tristan Thompson's back, Kevin Love will be back midway through January. You'll kind of have some of the new car smell probably by the trade deadline. So even if the team isn't playing great then, I think transactions are just something that's always kind of.
Dude, transactions just get you ready to get you excited to watch again, because it's like, oh, there's something new to learn. Even if it only takes me two games to learn, it's like, oh, Deli's back. Let's see how he fits.
Right.
Oh, this Burks guy, we've heard about him for a while. And like, when the team's not good and they're not actually like those, it's totally a sugar rush of like, oh, this is really fun. And then you're immediately not interested after right. you figure it out. But like, you do get those little bursts that come with those transactions. That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do think December is kind of the bleakest month for this team.
Dude, maybe I'm bored to shit. I got to say.
Yeah, well, it probably doesn't help to have Christmas kind of slapped in there either, because then
yeah, like all life. This stuff going on, you know, everyone's got their life responsibilities. It's like, why am I watching the Cavs?
How was Todd's first Christmas?
Todd's first Christmas was great. We went to my parents. My brother brought his two dogs. My parents have a sheepadoodle. And then we were pet sitting my cousin's German Shepherd puppy that was like a pretty new, pretty small. So we had five dogs running around my parents' relatively modest three bedroom home. Mm-hmm. It was fucking chaos. And honestly, I kind of like normally when there's like too much dog chaos, I'm always like, oh, this is actually kind of great.
Yeah,
it was too much.
Well, I think it's
having two puppies to account for.
Yeah, I think when it's your dog, it starts to, you get that anxiety of, hey, don't jump on people, don't take their food.
It was just like, and like every time, like the little one, because Todd's pretty much potty trained at this point, but every time the little one would run, it was like, she's going to go take a shit, isn't she? And it's just like, that's just tough. Like, you can't play Trivial Pursuit while that's happening, you know, like. It was just like a little like, and like the dogs are just trying to murder each other at all times in fun, but trying to murder each other.
Right.
But yeah, no, Todd had a great time. I was just stressed. What was the best thing you got?
Me? My wife got me virtual reality goggles, and that shit is hella disorientating.
Oh, it's very jarring. I've only done it once or twice. There are these there's these big places. There's one in Cali and one in Vegas. I didn't get to go to either of them, but they're like these giant VR rooms. Like they rent out like a warehouse. Mm-hmm. And like you actually like, so you slap on some VR goggles and you go through like an experience in full VR and you walk around in the space.
Huh. Weird.
And I am super jealous and I was busy working both times, but I want to try it. VR is there a off.
Virtual reality thing where the Cavs have RJ Barrett? Like, can I skip steps here?
Dude, I want to skip steps so bad. Like, I really think you're right though. Like, once Love's back and TT's back, I can at least have some fun. But like, dude, I just like Jalen Jones. What am I doing here?
I'm fully. It's funny because even though this year obviously hasn't gone too great, I've fully bought into next year's team being possibly decent as long as they keep Love. Like, there's pieces here where I can kind of buy into this being the skeleton of a decent Eastern Conference team. They just need to get a high pick and kind of build around it. That's I'm fully in on that. And
I would just like an identity.
What's that?
I would like an identity.
Well, that'd be nice.
It's just like the thing about the team is like that. You just sort of like, it's just a slog and they're not really building towards anything. And like, you know, I think Lowe wrote in his 10 pieces or 10 things I like column, I think the last one, which is like basically like the Cavs are a slog, was one of the things. And it's like, he's like, yeah, Phoenix is just now kind of sort of figuring out an offensive identity after like mm-hmm. 3 years in the wilderness. And like, man, I sure hope we're not in the wilderness that long, because it is just tough to watch. And like, that's the good part about the Cavs. That's their better unit is on offense.
Right. And to be fair, things have been like, as fun as Larry Nance has been, even the Cavs broadcast was talking about how he's looking forward to Tristan coming back because the load on him is just a little bit too much. And this is the type of game where if you had either Tristan or Love, you probably come away with the win just because of their ability to get on the boards and Tristan in particular, he's someone that can salvage a lot of your bad shooting nights just because of his ability to create extra possessions on the glass.
Yeah. And it's, Memphis clearly sleepwalked through this game. Like, it's not like they were beating the brakes off the Cavs for most of it.
Man, when you're getting roasted about Kyle Anderson, it never feels too great. I mean,
slow-mo, man.
That guy, he is slower than the metabolism of the people that are in my Twitter mentions speaking me. It is exhausting.
At least you got a t-shirt, Justin. Anderson was the perfect Cav killer, because to stop Kyle Anderson, one must play disciplined fundamental defense. And that's literally all you have to do.
He literally looks like the Cavs regular season effort of like the last 3 years.
He's a pretty nice player somehow.
He is a pretty nice player.
I love this Grizzlies team, dude. I'm always going to be a Grizzlies stan, I think. Because like, I love Conley and I love Gasol. I'm actually kind of on the, can we chill pumping up Jaren Jackson just a little bit?
Oh, no. I love that guy. Honestly,
I think he's a good future. How about you pull more than like I am disconcerted by the amount of games whose box scores I click on, and Jaren Jackson has played at least 28 minutes and has four or less rebounds.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely things that you kind of have to worry about with him.
Like, but he's very insulated right now. His weaknesses are so insulated. But like, when Gasol gets old, and like, come on, like, we're fooling ourselves if we don't think he's going to be a long-term center.
Right.
And like, part of being able to be those unicorn centers is being able to rebound the basketball. And like, I just haven't seen it from him at all yet.
That's fair. But I think that,
and that matters. That does matter.
Yeah, it does to an extent, but I
don't think he's ever going to get better, to be honest, because that's not really a thing that happens.
But you can still kind of build around that, right? Like, you can have...
Yeah, like, I don't think he sucks. It's just like, I just want people to acknowledge that there's kind of structural flaws in his game right now that, like, and rebounding is something...
That's not fun. Like, Carter, that's not fun.
I get that. I'm not trying to be like a buzzkill. It's more just like, it's more like I'm wondering if anyone else is noticing.
I'm sure people are noticing, but especially with rookies, like, you just you focus on the positives. You don't really kind of harp on the negatives. I mean,
I don't think we'll get better.
If you sat there saying, "Oh, Luka can't play defense," is this a concern? Like, that's kind of missing the forest through the trees here. Like, he's fun on offense. Worry about that down the road. I kind of take the same approach with Jaren Jackson Jr. and his rebounding. But yeah, I mean, obviously none of these rookies are perfect. They all kind of have their own concerns. Colin Sexton has more than a few. But I'm still encouraged.
I mean, I'm super high on the guy. I probably would have taken him. Like, with the benefit of hindsight, he's probably like still the second overall pick of the draft if you redrafted. Like,
Jaren? Really,
yeah.
Yeah.
Aiden, maybe. Aiden's been really pretty solid, actually.
It's the reason people hate Aiden so much is just because of the Luka thing, right?
Yeah, it's 100% Luka. Okay, like, cool. Like, and like, he does, like, for some reason, we just don't cut young bigs slack on defense.
No, they usually take until they're like 24 to figure it out.
It takes them like 6 years. Like, the curve to be a good defensive big man is just fucking outrageous, dude. It's so hard.
Yeah, you are essentially the quarterback of the defense. Like, you have to not only understand everything that you need to do defensively, but you have to coordinate, you have to be vocal, you have to let other guys know what's happening, you have to be able to recognize the plays. I mean, even someone like Tristan, who developed into such a great defender, his impact early on, even though people would
he was ass.
Yeah, he's the only reason he was a positive player was actually his impact on offense by setting great screens, creating extra possessions. I mean, he kind of had some highlight blocks or steals or like a nice defensive possession here or two that make you think, oh, maybe this guy can become a defender. But the actual overall impact was so bad. And that's not uncommon for bigs.
Yeah. Dude, I did not realize this run DeAndre Ayton's been on. He went on Monday, the 17th, okay, against the Knicks in New York, 21-13. At Boston, 23-18. At Washington, 26-17. At Brooklyn, 26-18.
I mean, but does he know how to play basketball, Carter?
Jeez, man. Like, any other year, and I know, and like, I don't want to do this thing where I have to shit on Luka to praise Ayton, because Luka's amazing and one of the more fun rookies I've ever seen. But it's like, I don't think there's ever been a first overall pick that could put those sets of stat lines together and not have it be a big fucking deal.
Right. No, no, I think that's fair. And I mean, Luka's obviously, if you're redrafting, he's the clear number one pick. But yeah, you're right. It is
flying under the radar. That's a crazy set of lines, dude.
And you know what? They actually aren't like playing that terrible lately either.
Like, no, they won, I think, five of the last seven. Like,
I mean, I'm for it. I'm for the Suns themselves from the tank race here.
Yeah, and the thing also is, like, when you do have a young team, like, that's how you win. You win in small stretches of, like, oh, that's how you play basketball. And then they forget everything they learned.
Right, right. Which is why I'm not going to run around like a chicken with my head cut off, because Colin Sexton's struggling here. I mean, it is a positive that when he is having tough games like tonight, that he kind of continues to just chip away. Next possession, let's try to make a smart play. Obviously, the assists were a nice encouraging sign today. His fourth quarter in general was very good. So, I'm not going to lose my mind over it. I was someone that was very low on him coming in. So maybe that's part of why I don't feel disappointment. And if you do have high expectations for Sexton, or you did have high expectations for him coming into the season, maybe that's what kind of brings you down and makes you not feel as good about him. But to me, it's been encouraging.
Yeah, I think he's been fine. I'm not encouraged, though, to be honest. I'm a little discouraged as of late. Just because it's like, I think I said in my player grades tonight on Fear the Sword, like, he could, like, that fourth quarter was really good because he could use a stretch of fun games, because it's just been a real slog for him as of late. I don't know, like, I could just use, I personally could use like four straight fun Sexton games, or three out of four fun Sexton games, because it's been like pretty ugly, man. Like,
yeah,
because what is he supposed to do? Like, that's the thing. Like, he's not kind of a very optimal Nance pairing, to be honest. Like, Tristan's actually a much better guy to play alongside him,
right?
Just because Nance's passing doesn't really get as much work when his defender's hanging 30 feet off him, and like, it's hard to get good cuts when, you know, there's just no floor spacing. So the facilitator Nance kind of hurts Sexton's ability to create. Not saying that they should not let Nance pass, but like, it's just an awkward pairing right now while Sexton's skill set's developing. So it's just been ugly. Plus, teams know what he is now, and they kind of, you know, they're taking away the shit he likes to do. And again, he's just struggling to get. He's struggling. You talk about Jetty struggling to get to the line. He drew four free throw attempts in the fourth quarter, but leading into that, it was looking like he was going to have his fifth out of six games with zero free throw attempts.
Yeah, I mean. And I wrote about this for Free the Store, but a big part of that is him getting into the paint and not going all the way anymore. And he's just throwing up these kind of awful floaters and shots that he's just doesn't seem comfortable with yet. And
2.4 attempts per game is not a good roadmap for Colin Sexton being a good NBA player.
No, and something we talked about before the year was that what could salvage his shaky jump shot would be him getting to the line, and that was going to be a major key in him being efficient, but it hasn't really played out that way. And I do think, as I said, I'm still encouraged compared to where I was on draft night. But at the same time, like with Sexton, I feel confident in saying this guy's at least going to be an NBA scorer. Maybe that kind of manifests itself in a six-man role. But how hard he works on kind of dedicating himself to understanding the game, becoming a playmaker, and ultimately his three-point shot as well, that's kind of going to define whether or not he's a player that matters and is a foundational piece, or if he's going to end up being a Jordan Clarkson type player where, yeah, he can give you electric stretches off the bench and he can give you some instant offense, but ultimately isn't someone that you would trust running a team.
I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound like I'm being really, really negative, but I'm not. Colin Sexton is a cockroach. Just kidding. what I was going to say is, like, I'm actually not convinced he's going to be a good scorer yet. But that doesn't mean he won't be. And I actually, like, that sounds like I'm putting a ceiling on him. It's me actually not knowing what his floor is.
Well, I'm saying the Jordan Clarkson type scorer where he has the ability to be a good scorer.
Dude, but Jordan Clarkson's a really good scorer. Like, Colin Sexton is not close to Jordan Clarkson as a scorer yet.
God, that's fucking bleak. But
I'm not trying to be overly negative, because like you look at like someone like De'Aaron Fox, and I think last year you could watch that guy and say, I don't know what he's gonna be. I don't know if he's gonna be a guy who's gonna stick around, because he was so raw and so limited, and then everything about his game got 10% better, and then you're like, nope, he's a star. And I'm not saying Sexton's gonna be a star next year if he gets 10% better or everything, but like, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, like, where his floor is
growth. Yeah.
His floor is very nebulous to me, but his ceiling is actually pretty clear. I feel like I have a good idea of what good Colin Sexton looks like. I don't have a good idea of what, disappointing Colin Sexton looks like.
Yeah, good Colin Sexton, I think, can actually be a very good player. Like, I think his
ceiling
is noteworthy, and he's someone that's worth investing in, and
just maybe stop taking 9 feet paths around picks.
Right. And
because boy, on defense, like, if I see him lunge 90 feet out of the way one more time and like it not, it's just not being corrected, Justin.
No, you're right.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, we talked earlier about how people don't give centers a lot of leeway on defense. And I think because we've seen so many guards come into the league that are just prodigies, we tend to have less patience with point guards than I think people used to maybe a decade or two ago. Like, that was always a position that you thought, okay, it's going to take them a long time to learn the game. And then you just have these guys like Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard that come in and just kind of light the world on fire as rookies. Well, you see more guys that are kind of Kemba Walker, De'Aaron Fox, shit, even Emmanuel Mudiay, like he's having a good year. I think
out of nowhere.
Yeah, so I definitely think in two and a half months into his NBA career, in probably the worst possible situation,
speaking of Mudiay, you know who I'm trying to steal?
Whom?
Our boy languishing on the Knicks, Frankie Smokes. Frank Ntilikina or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. 22 minutes a game. The more I watch, the more I see like guys like Trey Burke. Like the whole team's kind of built around guards who can score, and it's like they can't find him minutes because like that's not how they function. But yeah, every time I watch that dude, I just like, he is a fucking monster on defense.
I'm a Frankie Smokes fan. The issue
I would
is
love to steal him alongside Tim Hardaway Jr.
That's another off guard, right?
Huh?
Like I don't think he can be a lead point guard. Like
I don't think he can be a lead point guard. I don't know. Do they need a lead point guard?
I'm talking. Do we?
Huh.
No, like I think you need secondary playmaking around Colin Sexton. Another interesting name that's out there. I personally am not very high on him, but apparently the Mavs are shopping Dennis Smith Jr. I don't think the Cavs necessarily.
Well, he didn't grow up in Slovenia, if you know what I'm saying.
Like, I don't think the Cavs necessarily have the assets to make something like that happen. But it's just interesting when you do see kind of young, talented guys go on the market. I mean, that's someone I maybe you'd consider taking a flyer on. I mean, shit, I was even joking on Twitter with Adam Morris about Trey Lyles, like, as a potential guy. He's having a tough season in Denver. Had a great year last year. If that's someone that you could kind of steal away for, like, a second-round pick in the future, that might be something that would be worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, I like guys like Trey Lyles. I don't know. I just kind of, it would be kind of nice if in February, instead of taking on a Marquess Chris or Brandon Knight and me getting super depressed, it would be kind of fun to take a shot on a flawed young guy with, like, I guess Chris kind of fits that bill, but someone with a little more.
The upside of being a rotation player rather
than. Yeah, you think, oh, maybe they'll figure it out. Because I don't think Chris is going to figure it out. But, you know, you take a chance on a guy like Cranky Smokes or Lyles. I mean, Lyles is a little older, I guess, at this point. He's been in the league, what, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, I think he's around 24.
Yeah, but guys like that, oh, you know, maybe all of a sudden with a little opportunity, they turn into an okay player, but their team just didn't have a chance with or couldn't really. You know, find them the minutes and the opportunities to get them into any sort of rhythm. That would be kind of nice. Cavs really could use some diamonds in the rough.
I could also use anybody that has some hope of having a jump shot.
Well, yeah. Varden recently tweeted something along the lines of, like, if you asked all the healthy Cavs to participate in a 3-point contest, who would win?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
I mean, it's whichever got hot that day between, like, Clarkson.
It would be Burks or.
Well, actually not Hood, because Hood's release takes too long. It would be like Burks or Clarkson.
Yeah, either. Well, Clarkson jumps 6 feet inside the 3-point line on every three, so he'd have to. He'd get like 10,000 steps in just backing up.
Deli would get his arms tired from taking that many shots behind his head.
I'm telling you, the jumper looks dumber this year than it used to. It must be dumber. I can't possibly. This can't possibly be what it was.
It is exactly what it was. I'm telling you. Go back to old Deli highlights. That's your homework for next podcast.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for assigning that for me.
Yeah, no problem at all. Do you have any thoughts on the prospects for whoever the Cavs get in with the first pick?
Well, I've heard you've been on some Zion bullshit. What's going on there? Okay. I don't have much to say right now about it.
So my concern is partly due to the fact that I believe every player is going to have his worst case scenario when it comes to the Cavs. And Zion being the same height and weight as J.J. Watt, jumping as many times as he does, the way he lands, it just concerns me that he's not going to be the most durable player on the planet. And I understand that he has a good handle for an undersized big man, but I don't necessarily...
People got to chill a little bit on the handle and the passing.
People really got to chill on the handle and
the passing. It's good for what he is.
Right, but I don't think that that's what he's going to be in the NBA. Like, unless you think he's going to play the 4 or 5 full-time in the NBA.
He's definitely a 4 full-time, Justin.
Okay, well, I mean, if he's
what playing else the 4
full-time, I think you might have to play him at the 3 if he can't defend 4s and 5s.
Like, why can't he defend a 4 in the modern NBA?
I don't know if he has... I just don't buy it.
Come on. I'm challenging you on this because you're wrong. He can do what foot four can't he guard?
Well, I guess it's when teams are going small where they have a 3 playing at the 4. I don't know if he can necessarily stay in front of them. I don't know if he has those defensive instincts, but that's not really my concern. My concern is that
the injury stuff is a legitimate concern.
Right. And he can't shoot. And I don't think that his handle is good enough to translate in the NBA. Like, that's not a guy that you can just give the ball and say, hey, go create a shot. Like, he can create shots for himself on the offensive glass. He can in transition. He's going to be a monster threat in the pick and roll, similar to how Blake Griffin was. But I just don't think that he's going to be able to create his shots in other ways. And that's not necessarily the player that I think the Cavs need. I'd rather have a guy with an outside shot or a hope of an outside shot, something along the lines of Cam Reddish, Little, or RJ Barrett.
I think it was cute that you put RJ Barrett last. Like, he's not who you want.
No, I mean, everyone knows that. Everyone knows.
That was cute. That was endearing.
Well, like, I listed them in order of how good they are at shooting threes. But, I mean, we all know that I think RJ Barrett is James Harden if he was taller and more athletic.
Yeah. you're wrong. I think at this point we kind of know he can't pass like Harden. But and it is
well, a little too I mean, his passing's better than Harden's was in college. Yeah,
that's fair. The thing about Barrett is like people are – that are concerned are kind of like understating like how weird it is to play, be a perimeter player, a wing in college.
Well, the thing
it's a completely different experience.
We're talking about him like he's a point guard. Like, oh, why isn't he racking up 10 assists? Why isn't he creating for all these guys? He's a three. He's a small forward playing in college. College stats are more stingy on getting assists, and he gets four assists a game. He assists on 23% of his teammates' field goals. Like, Zion makes one pass for an assist in a game, and everyone loses their shit at the highlight. But RJ's creating more shots for his teammates, and that's not what you want from a small forward. You don't want a guy that's running your offense and creating shots for other guys. He's a finisher. He's a scorer. And I think that that's something that the Cavs definitely need.
Yeah, I think if you're concerned about RJ, it's the steals and blocks that should have you a little more nervous because those are typically like big indicators of like, you know, like if you're not getting those. How good they're
going to be defensively, right?
Yeah, if you're not getting those, it's an activity level stat more than anything. But, you know.
And I have been bothering Mort over that now that he's getting more steals and blocks every game.
My concern with RJ is I just kind of am, and maybe this is stupid, but I'm just kind of anxious about the Cavs trying just to do what they did with LeBron, but with RJ. Like, they need a new identity. And, you know, I don't want them to try to turn RJ into LeBron because he's not LeBron. They don't play the same way. Right. And I'm kind of worried they're like, oh, we got our big wing back. Like, it's not going to work.
No. I mean, that's definitely a valid concern. But I think he's dynamic enough that you obviously take him. You don't take a guy because – or you don't pass on a guy because he's not LeBron and he can't be the
great. No, it's more just that it's in the same way we've talked about, we don't trust the Cavs to utilize Zion well. I don't trust the Cavs to smartly build around RJ at some point, but those are anxieties we're going to have with everybody. So,
right, exactly.
Like, you know, that's just the hand we're dealt.
No, and take the best talent available. I mean, ultimately that's what they should do. It'll be interesting whether or not they actually land with the first overall pick, but that in itself is just a complete crapshoot. So that's not something we have to worry about until
not we get stressing there. About that.
No. Well, I mean, I'm stressing about it. I just know that that's something that's out of my control. So I've limited how much I'm stressing about that.
Yes, sir.
So before we wrap things up, going into the new year, what's kind of your resolution that you hope you will see from the Cavs moving forward?
I just hope that Colin Sexton has a fun stretch because he could use it and so could I.
Yeah. And my hope is that Kevin Love, one, doesn't get traded. God,
can't wait.
And two, that, you know what? I still hope that they manage his minutes. I still hope that they kind of preserve the tank to some degree. I don't think that's going to take too much effort. But I hope that Kevin Love being there opens things up. Because I mean, we saw Jetty played a lot better with Love. Love's a great pairing with Tristan. Like, he just makes the roster make a lot more sense. Even if you are kind of unloading some shooting in Burks and Hood. I just think that he makes things more easier to watch. Let's go with that. He makes them easier to watch, and I hope that that's the case down the stretch, because while ultimately our season comes down to lottery balls and how we do in the draft, how we get there, I hope, is a somewhat okay experience.
I miss Kevin. Can't wait to have him back.
Yeah. No. Do not trade him, Kobe. That's that.
Yeah, that would be. I'd be mad.
I'd be pretty upset unless it was for some like crazy trade where we get a young player that matters.
Yep. Even then, I don't want it. I want Kevin around.
No. Sorry. I'm with you there, and I don't think that that's possible. But so let's just decide to wrap things up there awkwardly and uncomfortably. I hope all our listeners had a great holidays. Hope you guys enjoy New Year's and whatever you got going on. I guess we have to figure out what we're doing for recording New Year's, but that's probably something we can do off air, right?
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you guys all for listening. Thank you for Carter for putting up with me and my awkwardness as I close podcasts. I'm never going to get better at this. I've just kind of accepted that. But
Only the diehards are making it this late anyway.
Yeah. You guys are all sick.
We're not losing them.
No. And I appreciate that. I'm glad that you guys stick around. So if you want to support the podcast, remember you can go out, leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. We'd be more than happy to respond with an invite to that Discord chat. So thanks again, guys. Until next time, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.